He always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this? And we're live. Welcome everybody here to the Lakers Lowdown Podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin, just realizing that the background is out of date, so I'm going to be updating that on the fly. Here's the deal. I recorded Basketball Passport, which is actually on this feed. It is on the YouTube channel here in the lounge, and for whatever reason, I recorded that episode with Lee. Fun episode, jumped around the league as we normally do. And then for some reason, my allergies just absolutely are killing me. I don't know if you guys can hear it in my voice, but it is just brutal. I cannot breathe through my nose. I am currently breathing like Nikola Jokic through the mouth. I don't think I'm going to be able to go for too long here on this episode because of how I am feeling, but we will go as long as I possibly can, and we will have as much fun as I can possibly have, and we will just kind of figure it out from there. A quick reminder, please do hit that subscribe button wherever it is that you get your podcasts, preferably on Odyssey. If you guys are listening to this in the podcast form in the morning, if you guys are watching live right now, hit that subscribe button, hit that like button too. That stuff helps. If you guys are watching on Twitter, head on over to youtube.com/@LakersLounge to find the show there. What we're going to do here, I have a couple notes, quick update on the Lakers potentially returning to the court Monday. And then also, Jared Vanderbilt potentially returning to the court this week, hopefully, is kind of the hope here from sensing. So I'll go through those couple of notes and then dive into your guys' questions. I have one iTunes review that I'm going to get to. I asked for questions on Twitter and got a ton of questions there. And then if you guys leave comments with questions here, if you guys are watching live, I will get to those over the course of the show as well. Again, we are probably on, the clock here as far as like what I am going to be physically capable of. I just can't breathe through my nose. And that is actually kind of difficult when you're talking a whole bunch. So we will go ahead and see how long I last here and send you guys into the week as best we possibly can. But for now, we're just going to keep on chugging along. We're going to keep on keeping on, and hopefully offer you guys who are probably still, if there are people in the audience still dealing with the the after effects of those fires. Again, our thoughts and our prayers and our support is with you. And if you are tuning in here for some kind of a distraction, you're welcome. Pop on in, pour a drink. Let's get through this Sunday together. And then tomorrow, to those of you Rams fans out there, you're dead to me. We are not. I'm kidding, obviously. All right, let's get into it. All right, so let's start with the update as far as the games go. The Lakers are scheduled to play the San Antonio Spurs Monday night. That is on the schedule. That is the hope, is that they're going to be able to play that game. Here's where it gets tricky. The Clippers are also scheduled to play Monday night. The Rams already moved their game to Arizona Monday night. And there is some concern, even while The reports are out there that the Lakers are hoping to resume their season Monday night. There are reports, or there are whispers out there that there is some unease as far as, you know, all of the support that it takes to have two NBA games at the same time, while there is obviously so much going on in the greater Los Angeles area. So the belief is that they're going to resume play Monday night. The Lakers will be playing the San Antonio Spurs in the crypto.com arena. But I don't know. I just hope that, like, the people who are making these decisions understand kind of, you know, what is at stake when you make that decision. It would be great to see the Lakers back in action. Ideally, the Lakers would be on a road trip right now, and we would get that distraction. We would all kind of wrap our arms around the Lakers together and allow them to kind of guide us through these tough times. Unfortunately, though, you have a whole bunch of resources dedicated to the firefighting efforts. You have a whole bunch of resources dedicated to the peripheries of those firefighting efforts. You have traffic stuff to kind of worry about downtown and in the greater LA area that, you know, gets impacted by these games. So, you know, there's a lot going on. And Dave McMenamin, I believe, was the first to report that the expectation is that the Lakers are going to be back in action Monday night. I hope that is the case. And, you know, if that is indeed the case, I hope that that decision is made with all of the necessary precautions in place, you know, with the full understanding of what goes into a Lakers game at a time where huge swaths of the city are still kind of, you know, putting their lives back together. So, again, the news is that the Lakers are expected to play Monday night. The analysis is that, you know, there are still plenty of people who are much better informed and much better trained on this stuff than I am, who are a little nervous about what that would actually look like. So hope that everything is ready to go. You know, the Clippers are also expected to resume play as well. So it's, you know, this is an NBA thing more so than it is a Lakers thing. But, you know, we saw the NFL, you know, move the game to Phoenix, and in one of the worst forms of irony we'll see, is being played in State Farm Arena or State Farm Stadium, whatever it is. And you know, they made that call way earlier on in the process. I don't know. It's probably a good thing that LA isn't now tasked with hosting a Lakers game, a Clippers game, and a Rams playoff game, or a Vikings playoff game. There's probably going to be more Vikings fans than Rams fans wherever they play. But, you know, at the end of the day, if the experts think that it's safe, and if the experts think that it is time to kind of get back to it, then it is time to get back to it. You know, I for one, will welcome the distraction. JJ Redick said, you know, in practice the other day, that he wants to get back to playing and get back to coaching, so that he can, you know, be that distraction for himself and for everybody else. And I use distraction as it's not a pejorative. It is very much for a few hours or so, we get to think about the Lakers and we get to root on the Lakers and ignore to whatever extent we can what has transpired over the last week or so. So we'll see what decision is actually finally made. We'll see if the Lakers actually do get back out onto the court Monday night. I know like part of the reasoning for moving the game is, you know, SoFi has that open portion of the roof. Whereas obviously crypto.com is a fully indoor arena, as is Steve Ballmer's toilet bowl. So, you know, we'll see how all of this plays out. And I'm sure the fact that it is a fully indoor event plays a role in the NBA and the Lakers and the Clippers feeling like they can get back to it. But, you know, there's a lot of stuff that goes into these games and the traffic surrounding these games and parking and all of that stuff. And, you know, so long as it is the safe decision to make, I personally can't wait to watch the Lakers get back to it. And I personally can't wait to kind of resume some of that normalcy that we have lost over the last week. Again, my apologies. I'm currently like, I need to sniffle. it has been a day. For whatever reason, the allergies out here where I'm at, or the allergens out here are really bad. So, a lot of stuff in the air, a lot of stuff that we're all going through. So while I sniffle, let's go ahead and laugh at the Clippers.
Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast.
Paul George really hit the side of the backboard.
It was wide open. I can't even make sentences.
Lou Williams, he said they just came together this year, as if that was an excuse, like the other team in the...
All right. Close that. All right. Felt a little bit better. I don't know what hit me. Like, I recorded with Lee, felt perfectly fine. Feel way worse now. All right. The next bit of news that we have to hit on before we dive into your guys' questions has to do with Jared Vanderbilt. Last Tuesday, the Lakers announced that a week from then, they would reevaluate Jared Vanderbilt and see how he handles a full week of practices. They had him practice with the South Bay Lakers for a day and then quickly recalled him so that he could practice with the Lakers. I'm told that went pretty well and that the Lakers are hoping to have him back on Wednesday when obviously the Lakers play hopefully tonight or tomorrow night, Monday night, against the San Antonio Spurs. And then the hope is that, you know, on Tuesday, they get back into the gym, hopefully practice. And then depending on how that goes and how Vando's body responds to that, he will be cleared and ready to play Wednesday night. Now, the Lakers could push this back and be extra cautious, seeing as last year they brought him back. And then he played for a little bit, I believe missed a little bit of time, and then played again. And then non-contact injury that led to this current absence that he is hopefully coming back from. The Lakers are going to be, they are going to play this extremely safe, as they should. But the hope is that he will be good to go and be ready to hopefully play. And look, like LakerCon is saying it, you know, not falling for it. I get it. Like, I also share that skepticism. My advice would be to be like, don't believe that Jared Vanderbilt is going to play until you actually see him out there on the court. We're all kind of dealing with this. We all share that frustration. Nobody shares that frustration more than Vando, I would imagine, who is probably pretty sick of sitting and missing all of this time. So I think, you know, the best thing that we can do here is and the only thing I can do is relay to you what I'm hearing, And then from there, the only thing we can do is have some kind of productive skepticism and then, you know, kind of hope and pray for the best and hope that he is able to get out there as quickly and as safely as possible. So the Lakers need him, especially if JJ wants to kind of commit to small ball in the way that he appears to want to. I have my own skepticism about that approach to, you know, that approach to the sport with this team and with this roster. But, you know, if that's what they think is best, hopefully it works out. And then if it doesn't work out, then obviously, you know, I am going to have to sit here and say, hey, Darvin tried to do that before and it didn't work. Why are we going right back to what didn't work with Darvin? So we'll see how all of that turns out. But yeah, in terms of actual news, the hope is that Jared Vanderbilt will be able to play on Wednesday. And then, or, you know, if he isn't able to play Wednesday, then the hope is that he is able to get back out onto the court over the next like week and a half or so. So fingers crossed. All right, let's go ahead and dive into your guys' questions, starting with, as always, the 5-star iTunes reviews. This one comes from Gorilla the Conqueror, who writes, "Hi, Anthony. Love the show. I always listen to it on my way to work. You were proven correct about inside the NBA, always trashing the players and product. What are your thoughts on Barkley proving yours and JJ's point during his rant? What is the outlook for future NBA media and coverage?" The problem, honestly, is that ESPN has kind of entrusted its NBA content to Stephen A. Smith, and I think he is bad for the sport. And then the other like group of people that they have entrusted with the coverage of the sport is inside the NBA, and I don't think they are very good for the league. They are very good for themselves, and when they aren't talking about the NBA, it's like legitimately one of my favorite shows. Those guys are hilarious, and that chemistry is earned and honestly beautiful, like watching those guys come together and grow over the years to make the show that they make on a night in, night out basis or a weekly basis. And as far as like talking about the NBA, though, like Stephen A. Smith only seems to care about the New York Knicks and Charles Barkley, Shaq, and Shaq. Kenny, I think, is a little bit better and more welcoming of like, you know, the fact that these guys who are currently playing are insanely talented and skilled and all that stuff. But Shaq and Chuck appear to, you know, skip out on doing the work. Don't actually watch the sport, actually like admit to not watching the sport. And their takes are representative of that approach to covering the sport. I think that's really bad for the NBA. I was actually really hoping. It was funny because over the summer, you know, when it looked like, you know, TNT and Turner was going to lose the NBA, there was a whole bunch of like bemoaning the fact that, oh no, inside the NBA is going away. And it was kind of funny. Like we all eulogized the show. And then when it was announced that ESPN is actually bringing the show back, it was funny to see all of the same people who were like eulogizing the show not necessarily being thrilled with the fact that it is actually coming back. I found that whole like couple week stretch fascinating and telling, where I think it's a lot easier to eulogize the show and think of only the best parts of a show when it looks like it is going away. But then when it was announced that it was actually being saved and brought back or being put onto ESPN airwaves, it was like, oh, okay. We couldn't do any better, huh? I'm actually really excited for what Amazon is going to do with their pre and halftime and then post game shows. It was announced that Taylor Rooks is going to be the host of that stuff. And then Dirk Nowitzki and there's one more person, Blake Griffin, are going to be like at the center of Amazon's NBA coverage. I think that's a really fun combination. Blake Griffin is legitimately like not just NBA funny, he's actually funny. And then Dirk like loves the sport. So I can't wait to see what that looks like. But yeah, I think one thing that's really kind of tough, there was actually he used to come on the show. I need to bring him back, but Sopan, my buddy Sopan, Deb, who writes for the New York Times, wrote about the like camp that former players go to get into NBA media and how they're like kind of trained to shit on the sport. It does sell, you know, there is a market for that sentiment. Unfortunately, I, however, think that there's also a market for people who want to, and by the way, like I'm not asking for PR. If the NBA needs to be criticized, it can be criticized. But I think there is also very much a market for people who want to explain how special this generation of NBA athlete is. We're watching Victor Wembanyama. He's like 7'4", 7'5", shooting the ball like a shooting guard. He's shooting like one-legged threes that are just buckets, right? Shooting almost like, you know, he's shooting above 40% from three-point range on legitimate volume. That's insane. Like, just imagine Yao Ming shooting like Steph from three-point range and like how insane that would be to watch. You have, at this time, you have Anthony Davis, who is this freaking defensive pterodactyl, insanely gifted athlete, insanely skilled basketball player. And even he is struggling to defend the modern sport because of how skilled everybody is up and down NBA rosters. And I think that's really cool. Like one of the knocks that you have, that you'll see from, fans of college basketball is like, oh, well, they don't actually defend in the NBA and blah, 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 blah. And it's like, no, they do. It's just that those guys are so incredibly good at basketball that they make even some of the best defense in the world look like, you know, farcical. And you know, it's completely a compliment to those offenses and a compliment to the individual talents that you'll see defenders like Anthony Davis, defenders like Rudy Gobert, defenders like Victor Wembanyama, or, you know, Jalen Suggs, or, you know, Alex Caruso, like up and down a basketball court, you have these incredible defenders, but the guys who are on the other side of the ball are so good at scoring that sometimes it makes it look like even some of the best defenders in the world aren't actually doing that good of a job. And I wish that the people who had those bigger platforms were better at explaining that than they currently are, rather than, you know, you, like the other day, there was a game between the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Oklahoma City Thunder. And after the game, it was so nice to like that game happened and it was incredible. Like that was basketball sex. Cavs Thunder was like, I needed a cigarette and a sandwich after that game. And it was so nice to like that game ended. And actually it transitioned from that game to like Giannis against Wemby. Right. And the Bucks wound up blowing out the Spurs, but it was still like, wow, like these, like the sport is being played at its peaks, at a higher level than it ever has been played at before. Now, like I do think offenses have become a little homogenized, and I do think that, you know, the number of threes isn't really good for the sport and all that stuff. But like at the end of the day, though, like I can say that, but I can also acknowledge the guys are so good at knocking down those threes or creating those threes that, you know, they would dominate in any other era. So, yeah, I, as far as like where I think NBA media is going, I think Amazon's entrance into sports content or NBA content is going to be a good thing. It has been good for the NFL. I think it's only a matter of time until Netflix gets involved, more involved, and I think that'll be a good thing too. And then eventually, like, Chuck, Shaq, all of those guys are going to retire, and I think that'll be a good thing for the sport too. So, yeah, I'm not saying that, like, the people who are covering the NBA need to be PR for the NBA. You guys know me. I refuse to do that for the Lakers, especially given some of the stuff that Pete was saying on Blue Sky last week. But that said, like, if you're going to criticize the sport, make it fair. Make it realistic. And, like, you know, Shaq getting angry at people for not suiting up every night when he's Mr. Company Time, not great, you know? Charles Barkley criticizing professionalism when he was known as a round mound or rebound, not very great, you know? Just, like, watch the sport. That's all I ask. That's, like, honestly, that's the bar is underground. Chuck, Shaq, Kenny, fucking Gilbert Arenas and that crew. Like, watch the sport. Watch the sport. Put away the nonsense hating and all that stuff. That is only an excuse for you to, like, prop yourself up. You're propping yourself up by hating these current athletes. Just, like, watch the sport. Recognize how good these guys are and just talk about it in, like, a productive manner. I don't think that's a crazy high bar to meet. All right. I also asked for questions. Let's check and make sure. Let's see if we have any stars. Yeah, let's see. I don't see any star comments, so I see Mario Rivera. Saw the NBA returning to the NBC commercial during an NFL game, and I'm hyped, hoping they bring back Round Ball Rock. That is the plan, that song is going to make a return, and I do think we're going to see some, like, retro content, which I think will be kind of good. Actually, it was kind of cool that Cavs Thunder game, before the Cavs Thunder game, you had a bit of a monologue that, like, told people about the teams that were about to be playing in that great game. Like, honestly, the media blitz before the game, the presentation of the game itself being as exciting as it was, like, it's not a coincidence that all of that stuff happened. And then the next day it comes out that was, like, 20% higher viewership for that one game than it was that time last year. Yeah. If you put in the work. And that was Cavs Thunder. Like, those aren't huge markets. Those aren't, like, actually, OKC's the smallest market in the NBA. Like, those are, if you put in the work, it doesn't matter who's playing. The sport's great. The NBA's great. Fucking market it, ESPN. Do your job. All right, I did ask for questions on Twitter, so I'm going to go ahead and dive in there. If I find those questions, here we go. All right. First question from Twitter from Laker Supply writes, if the Lakers were to pursue Bruce Brown, would they look to do a 3-for-1 like Rui and 2 minimums, or a 3-for-2 like Rui and Gabe with a minimum and Bruce Brown? Rui and Gabe in a minimum for Bruce and another contract. So yeah, the Lakers have talked internally about Bruce Brown, I'm told, quite a bit, that he is a subject that they bring up quite often. Issue with him, though, is that, like, he makes 23 mil and you have to move, like, a big chunk of your rotation to go out and get him. The Lakers don't want to move Rui and draft capital for Bruce Brown. Rui is a very popular guy at kind of the upper tier of the organization. And if they move Rui, Eric Pincus covered this the other day, and then it was kind of echoed in some of the conversations I've had since, that, like, if they move Rui, they aren't just going to do it for just anybody. So They, you know, if it's like, if it's Rui that you're moving, you know, and there's an all-star available, okay. Like, and it's an all-star on like a decent contract, all that stuff. Okay. Like if it's a clear upgrade, then the Lakers were fine with moving Rui. The difference though, is that, what we consider a clear upgrade is not what it appears they consider a clear upgrade. So, I would like to trade for Bruce Brown. I saw that Lonzo got into the starting lineup, and we'll see how his body holds up as we get closer to the trade deadline. I would love for the Lakers to move Rui for Lonzo. Actually, before they traded D'Lo, I was actually on board with moving D'Lo for Lonzo and a pick. You know, obviously the Lakers are very concerned about Lonzo's body and whether or not it'll hold up. We have to watch. We have to watch and we have to wait and see how that holds up or he holds up. So in the meantime, though, like, you know, all of those concerns that we have about Lonzo staying healthy, we can have a lot of those same concerns for Bruce Brown, who has not played a ton of basketball over the last year or so. Some of that obviously is Toronto being hyper careful there to protect their trade asset and, you know, some tanking stuff going on there too. But, and then also like he was a very different player in Indiana than he was in Denver. Now, I do think he would be better in LA playing off of LeBron and playing off of Anthony Davis and playing off of Austin Reeves than he was in Indiana when he was kind of more of an engine for that offense. Even if it was a secondary engine, that's a bigger role in the offense than he would be playing in the Lakers. So I think he'd be better for the Lakers than he was for Indiana. And I think he would be better for the Lakers than he has been in Toronto. It's just that he makes so much money that it's very difficult to kind of trade for him. So, I don't think the Lakers are interested in trading Rui for Bruce Brown, but we'll see how that changes over the course of the next few weeks, especially once Vando is back and they get a better look at what the rotation would look like and Rui's role in that rotation with Vando back and with more of a focus on switchability, athleticism, and defense than the Lakers have played with to this point. Next question, at Laker Goat writes, any insight on if the Cooper jersey retirement is going on as planned? Man, that's tough. So the Lakers just tweeted out tonight, while I have been on the air, that Michael Cooper, his jersey is going into the rafters. I kind of wonder how much of a role that is playing in their interest in getting back out onto the court as quickly as they are while the Rams move their game to Arizona. But based on this tweet, it does look like Coop's jersey is going up and they will have that ceremony for him. The Lakers did make a trade. So things are going pretty well for the Lakers. So my guess is Jeannie will be present for that ceremony and Rob will be present for that ceremony. As will a lot of those Showtime Lakers, Kareem will be there. Magic will be there. James will be there. Byron will be there to celebrate Coop going his jersey going up, and rightfully so. Like, by the way, I've seen some kind of debate over whether or not Coop's jersey should be retired. One, he's a Hall of Famer now, so it like objectively that jersey is going up. And even before then, they don't win those titles without him playing defense the way that he is or the way that he did. And you know, he kind of like invented the mold of a 3-and-D wing that we now see as the most important role player on a lot of really good teams. So yeah, I happy for Coop. Wish it was going up under better circumstances, but to the best of my understanding, the Lakers are going to celebrate him. And honestly, like, you know what? Now that I'm kind of thinking about it and talking about it out loud, it would be good to just kind of wrap our arms around Coop. You know, there's going to be a whole bunch of Coop from the crowd. Who knows what to do in that moment. But yeah, I think we're it'll be great to see him celebrated. It'll be great to do some celebration. His jersey will go up Monday night if the game does go on as scheduled. And that moment will be pretty cool and a nice little release for a whole bunch of people who are looking for anything to kind of celebrate. All right, the next question here comes from let's see, just make sure I don't have anybody. All right. I guess there's a rumor out there about Kessler going potentially to Boston. I haven't seen much of that. So there's a, you know, like LZ Hunter is asking, why is Ainge still allowed to make trades with the Celtics? Because Utah employs him to make trades. Yeah, I think so. I reported this, a few weeks back, how the Jazz are specifically not interested in sending Kessler to the Lakers, because they're concerned that Kessler and AD will actually weaken their trade asset, years down the line from now. So, keep that in mind. Now, would he be available to the Celtics and not the Lakers? Yeah, probably, because the Celtics, I don't believe, have any future draft capital that impacts the Utah Jazz. So, most people I talk to around the league don't think Kessler is actually available, period. Two, to take it a step further, the Lakers people that I talk to don't think that Kessler is available specifically to them, on top of him not really being available to the rest of the league. He's a young center, averages a double-double a night already, is on an incredible contract too. He's somebody that fits really well with Lauri Markkanen. And once the Celtics, you know, if they get lucky and they get Flagg in there too, he would fit fine with Cooper Flagg as well. And now all of a sudden could be a part of a winning team whenever the Jazz are more interested in doing more winning. So that's a factor in how available Kessler is. And then on top of it, you know, the Lakers have, oh my God. Oh, wow. Washington with a walk-off doink. Lakers, the Jazz own some future Lakers draft capital. And if you trade a young, productive center to a team whose draft capital you own, you inherently lessen the value of that draft capital. And that's something that Danny Ainge is very reluctant to do. So, this isn't a matter of like him tampering with the Celtics or giving the Celtics any kind of a discount compared to what like the Lakers saying. There's a very practical reason that he is reluctant to trade Walker Kessler to the Lakers. But I think more importantly than even that, I don't think Kessler is actually all that available unless you're willing to like overpay to a crazy extent for Walker Kessler, which maybe the Boston Celtics are willing to do, but I don't think that I based on conversations I've had to this point, I think it's more likely that Kessler stays in Utah past the deadline than is actually moved. Let's look at the comments here from the live audience. Is asking, is Sharp from the Nets a real option? Yeah, I do think so. De'Ron Sharp. I think the Lakers, you know, asked about De'Ron as part of the Dorian Finney-Smith trade. The Nets asked for another second rounder for him, and the Lakers were not interested in that and said, we'll come back to you maybe later on in the year to see what his price is at that point. And instead traded for Shake Milton, thinking that they needed a guard, which, you know, they traded D'Angelo Russell and felt like they needed a guard to bring some of the shooting that he has and some ball stability and stuff like that. But yeah, the other part of it too is, like, with Sharp, are we positive that JJ would play him? Are we positive that he would actually play a role in, you know, on a team that is as focused on small ball as the Lakers are? I think for right now, and I've reported this before and I'll continue to say it, once they get Jared Vanderbilt back, the hope is to take a look at what this team looks like, what that rotation looks like, what that identity looks like, and then kind of go from there as you get closer to the trade deadline. If it looks like the small ball approach isn't as productive as the Lakers are hoping for it to be. And then at that time, De'Ron Sharp is a possibility. Nick Richards from Charlotte is a possibility. I know Jonas Valanciunas has been on the Lakers' radar dating back to last summer. So the Lakers, you know, think they'll have options as you get closer to the trade deadline, and we'll see what that looks like. All right, I think that is going to do it. My voice has held up about as well as it could possibly have held up. I'm going to go ahead and give myself or my vocal cords and my sinuses a high five, not literally because that would hurt. But yeah, the plan is, if the Lakers have a game tomorrow night on Monday night, Raj and I will be live after the game to talk about it. And then, you know, kind of carry out the rest of the week the way that we normally would. So until then, and until the next time you guys hear from us, I'm Anthony Irwin saying, have a great rest of your day, make somebody else's, and I will talk to you guys tomorrow.